people. Glory to God. Let's stand this evening and open with prayer. We have some sad news, some very heavy prayer requests we need to address. Sister Grant's brother, Charlie Smith, passed away. He was diagnosed with cancer. He lived up in the Appleton area. And so we want to pray for his family. Pray for Sister Grant, of course, and for Pastor Roy and Brother Johnny and the Grant family. If anyone who knew Charlie Smith, you can't even talk about him without a grinning. But it's a sad thing that he's passed, and we want to pray for the family. Then also, Sister Jessica Rivest is traveling to be with her grandfather, who is not doing well. I don't know who else in the Brown family is traveling. The rest of the family, John says the rest of the family is traveling. So we want to pray for the Brown family. Brother Kevin's father is very close to death, so we want to keep that in mind tonight. Let's pray for our service. Pastor Phil is our minister tonight in the Word, wherever he is, over there. So let's pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we know, O God, that you are in every place at every time, and that you know our needs before we pray. But we know also, God, that you have called on us. You have instructed us to bring our cares and our burdens to you. So tonight we bring these burdens, these cares, especially those of our brothers and sisters, Lord, concerning these loved ones. We pray for the Smith family and for the Grant family. We pray for Sister Grant, especially, oh God, in the loss of Charlie Smith. We ask, oh God, for your strength and your direction and your anointing upon every one who knew Charlie, everyone especially who was close to him, that at this hour your presence will be manifest and that your hand will be evident, O God. Draw them near to you. Draw us all near to you, O God, in this hour. We pray for Sister Jessica and Sister Linda Brown and for all of the Brown family, for the girls, O God, and for Andrew, O Lord, for every member, for Kevin especially, O Lord, that you will give them strength, that you will give them wisdom, that your blessing will be upon this family as they deal with this, the illness of their father, their grandfather. Lord, we don't know sometimes how to pray or what to say in these situations, but Lord, you have an answer for every situation, and we ask, oh God, that you would pour out your spirit and your blessing upon this family at this hour. We pray for this service tonight, oh God, that we may honor you and glorify you with our worship, and that your hand will be upon the man of God as he brings us the word, oh Lord, and that our hearts and minds will be responsive to the ministry of your spirit and the ministry of your word, that you may be glorified in what we do and what we say, and that we may be changed, and that this week, oh God, we may honor you with our response to the word that we receive tonight. Let your hand be upon all of this, and we turn to you and give you praise and give you glory for all of it, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everyone said amen. You may be seated. We want to welcome our guests. If you are here in the house, we want to encourage you to touch base with one of the ushers or one of the hospitality staff. They have a means to connect you digitally. They want to give just a few points of your information from you so that we can let you know how much we appreciate your presence here. They have a small gift for you. If you're with us online, you can connect with us on the Bitly link there on your screen. Please do that. We want to let you know how much we appreciate you being with us. Welcome to Calvary Gospel Church. We want to let you know about your giving options. You can give in the offering box that's on the kiosk in the vestibule. You can mail in your offering. You can go to our website and follow the instructions there to give. Or you can give through our wonderful church app, Church Center. Amen. A couple of announcements coming up. This Sunday, there will be a cupcake reception after the morning service for the Carters, who are getting ready to head out to Germany. So we want to keep them in prayer, of course, as well. But we want to bid them farewell celebrate with them. This is something they've been wanting to do. It's an answer to prayer for them. Sister Linda has a job there, but they also feel the need to minister, the call to minister there in Germany. So please keep them in prayer. Also coming up on April 7th through the 9th is Easter weekend. Amen. Make plans. Invite someone. Bring someone to either the Good Friday service at 7 o'clock. We'll have a service, and we'll be sharing communion Friday evening. And then on the 7th, and then the 9th, Easter Sunday, we'll have our normal schedule on Easter in our Easter service. We'll have the kids in adult classes at 10 o'clock, and then our Easter celebration at 11 o'clock. Then coming up April 12th, we will be having a Wednesday night special mission service with Joshua Tingley, missionary to Haiti, and they will be with us that night. And everyone said, praise God. Let's worship. Let's stand and worship the Lord.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. And surely the of the Lord is in this place. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. Of angels' wings, I see glory on each face, and surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, in the midst of His children. The Lord said He would be. It doesn't take very many. It can be just two or three. And I feel that same sweet spirit that I felt all times before. And surely I can say that I've been with the Lord, and surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace, and His grace. Oh, I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Now I'm sure right now a lot of us aren't feeling God at all. I know that. Sometimes you reach out to God and you just don't feel it, and that's okay. There was once a little boy who walked through the store, and his dad separated himself from his son. And his son just kept going, looking around, and he was okay. Just kept looking. Walked the whole store, and his father just kind of stayed in the shadows and watched his son. Till finally his father came back to him and said, "Son, why weren't you worried? You didn't see me. I hid myself." He said, "Dad, I still knew you were there. And you know what? In our rituals, we know how to give in the offering. We know the announcements. But surely, God is here. Brother Phil has prepared a message especially for you tonight. And there's an expectation. There's an expectation from Brother Phil that, you know what? God gave him the right message. And I know God said, sing these songs." And I'm not trying to sneak a preach or anything like that. I'm just saying, hey, let's get focused. Today's done. We're done. Tomorrow's not here. But surely, surely, the presence of the Lord is in this place. Let's sing it from our hearts to the Lord. Oh, surely, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. Oh, I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. And surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And there's a holy hush around us as God's glory fills this place. I have touched the hem of His garment. I can almost see His face, and my heart is overflowing with the fullness of His joy. I know without a doubt that I've been the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. And surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I don't know how to say exactly how I feel, and I can't begin to tell you what your love has meant. I'm lost for words. Is there a way to show the passion in my heart? Can I express how truly great I think You are, my dear? Lord, this is my desire, to pour my love on You like oil upon Your feet, like wine for You to drink, like water from my heart. hope is gone. I pour my love like oil upon your feet, like wine for you to drink, like water from my heart. I pour my love on you. Your praise is like perfume. I lavish mine on you. Every drop is gone. I pour my love on you. Let's worship him for just a second. Let's just focus on him. He's so good. If you don't know what to say, just say, thank you, Lord, for being you. Thank you, Lord, for being you. My champion, giants fall when you undefeated. Every battle you won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heaven, undefeated. With the one who has conquered it all. You are my champion. Giants fall when I'm defeated. Every battle you won, I am who you say I am. Crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah.
Test. Hallelujah. There we go. Something to be said for testing things before service. I know this is abnormal. God laid this song on my heart. It's been, we haven't sung it here, but it's been on the radio if you love the repetition of WNWC. But I've heard it a lot and just kind of been in my spirit, and so I just, if you know it, sing along. Make it your prayer tonight. If you don't know it, learn it, but let's make this our cry out to the Lord this evening. I've got nothing new. how could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. Let's do that right now, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah. It's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one. Except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just worship him. Shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of these lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of these lungs. Get up and praise. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, it's nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. And I throw up my hands, praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a
sing it out.
Nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Let's just worship him now. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We thank you so much, Jesus. We praise your name, God. We glorify your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just lift up our voices to him. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your name, God. We worship you, Lord. We glorify you, God. Lord, I cry out hallelujah, Lord Jesus, tonight. God, hallelujah, Lord. We thank you so much, God. We praise you. We worship you, Lord God. Let's give them a hand clap of praise tonight. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 14. Scripture says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received 2 gained two more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5. Look, I've gained 5. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord.' He who also received 2, same story. 'I got 2 more. Look, hey, great job. Well done, good and faithful servant. I'll make you ruler over many things.' Verse 24, then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' I got the 1 at least back. Didn't lose it. But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given. He will have abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You may be seated tonight. A few weeks ago, the Lord laid a thought on my heart for tonight, and then lo and behold, the scripture text we just read ended up being the subject of our Sunday school classes all across this building, from the adults to the kids. I don't know if you remember that a few weeks ago, just a couple weeks ago, actually. And it was also our daily devotions for that week. Apparently, God is wanting to speak to someone, speak to our church, through this passage of Scripture. If you look in most versions, the heading for this parable, they kind of give you a little heading for what's the next few scriptures. Most versions say the parable of the talents. When I was diving in and comparing versions and studying, I noticed that the New Living Translation has a heading that says the parable of the servants. I think it really puts the emphasis in the right place, not on the talents, but on the servants and their mindsets, their actions, their responses. We're going to look at this parable tonight and extract some principles that we can apply to our lives. And so tonight, the talent principles is what we're going to talk about tonight. I want to set the stage. Thank you for not messing up my notes over there, Peter. He joked that he was going to mess all my notes up while they sat on the music stand. But I want you, Pastor Peter, Pastor Jerry, oh man, did you leave? Oh, come on. Come on up here. And Benjamin. Man, I was hoping there'd be like a whole lot of youth and I was going to use you guys, but they lost out. So, I know. But we're going to use these guys because they're awesome. Please stand up right up here. Not up here, down there, sorry, on the ground. Sorry, I did say up here. Right in a row. My servants. My servants. I have some artwork for you. Artwork. To you, Benjamin, I have this beautiful piece of artwork for you. Pastor Peter, this is a framed picture of the coast of Thessalonica. So from, and I don't know, my dad gave it to me. think it was like in the 18. No, this is not that one. Anyways, cool. And then Pastor Jerry, I have a little photo frame. It is a heart and has my wife's picture in it. But you're not keeping this, by the way. Just illustration. Don't you feel blessed? Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Lindsay. What's the first thing that normally people do when you pass things out? What's that? Oh, man, someone read the notes. Did you come up to the music stand? Yeah. Jerry's probably like, why did I get this little puny thing? I need to definitely have a bigger frame with my wife in it. I know all y'all are judging me, but I don't know. I've had this for years. I'll take them. You can set them down. Thanks, gentlemen. Just set them there. You probably did only what is natural and looked around and said, why did I get what I got? And you can imagine those guys that day, they're probably thinking, why in the world did he get 5 talents? What's wrong with me? I just got 1. Think about it. The Lord comes and just, their master comes and just, you know, here's some talents, here's some resources. I never get the chance to have 2 or 5. I'm always the 1 talent guy. Maybe he went down a negative mental path. He doesn't trust me. This is all I'm worth. I'll never amount to anything. The 5 guy level guy is of course going to do an awesome job, and the most I get is another 1. I might as well not even try. I really have nothing to work with here. 4 principles tonight. Principle number 1, there is no room in the kingdom of God for comparison. Comparing yourself will lead to bearing what you have. God has given us resources purposefully for a reason. And the moment we compare is the moment things can go south. Now, I'm not excluding aspiring and being challenged by other people and their walks with God or their abilities and saying, hey, I want to be that kind of drummer when I get older and better. And I want to learn. I'm not talking about that. But when we begin to compare in a negative fashion and we go down that negative path, it's not a good thing. There's no place in the kingdom of God. Galatians 6:3-5. It also can be the other way, folks. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Look at me. I'm the 5-talent guy. The only one who thinks that kind of person is awesome is that person. Everyone else is like, okay, whatever. You do you. Continuing on in verse 4, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. When we compare, we totally disrespect God. The fact is that he chose us to give resources to. He didn't have to. He chose us to give resources to. Yes, someone got more, but we have something, don't we? There's a Bible commentary written by Adam Clark that really did a great job on this passage, and a couple things I want to share. Just going to read from his commentary. Here it says, he said, the master distributes these goods diversely, giving to 1 5, to another 2, to another 1. No person can complain that he has been forgotten. Well, no one cares about me. I only got 1 talent. Wait a minute. You have 1 talent. You weren't forgotten. The master gives to each. None can complain of the diversity of the gifts. It is the master who has done it. The master has an absolute right over his own goods, and the servants cannot find fault with the distribution. Well, God, just blame God. Well, I just wish I was born somewhere else. No, there is a specific purpose for you in the kingdom of God, in life. Stop looking at, we have all been given resources. It's not the amount that matters, it's what we do with it. Stop looking at your brother or sister and comparing yourself to them. There's no place in the kingdom of God for comparison. Well, they just got a great personality. Yeah, but you know what? There's someone that only you can minister to because that personality is overwhelming to that person. But you are the perfect person to talk to them, to reach them, to be around them, to bring them to Christ. Whatever the resource, whatever it is about us. There's a word that evokes a lot in our current culture and climate. And I'm going to say the word, and we'll see what happens here. Folks, if we're not careful, culture will ruin our spiritual lives. The word is privilege. We're not going to go down the many rabbit trails. It could lead us. But if you break it down, the concept is a comparison game. You have this advantage. Someone has this advantage because of a certain set of circumstances, whatever it may be. I do not, and thus I am at a disadvantage. It's all about comparing ourselves and how unfair life is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Again, not going to go into the virtues or non-virtues of the whole concept. But church, there's no room in the kingdom of God for comparison. We can't let culture seep into our spirits and begin to say, well, you know, it's not faith. Stop comparing. God gave you talent. And again, I'm using the word talent. I know there's, you know, Pastor Jerry presented his, oh, you're on this side. Man, stop doing that. This is why it's so much fun to just swap where you normally sit, because then the preacher's like, ah, oh, where are you now? Or maybe he'll identify you're not at church. But anyways, no, I'm just joking. Stop laughing. You're encouraging me. We just had this conversation at district conference, how I miss her laughter when I preach because it gets me going. And Sister Fiona's watching sick kids, and I don't have her back there. So someone, I can't see very well anyways yet, so someone just do this. I'll think it's my wife, and she's like, okay, I'll stop. Oh my, she'd be here like, stop. Amen. There's no room in the kingdom of God for comparison. Principle number one. So we've got three servants, one given five, one two, and the other, the last one, one only. Why? Do you think it was just arbitrary? The master calls three servants forward. I want to give you resources, but I'm really not sure what you should have. So, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a tiger by the toe. If you holler, like, I surrender, USA. My mother told me to pick the very best one, and you are not it. You get one talent. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a tiger by the toe. You're not it. So you get the five, you get the two. I'm sure that's how he picked it, right? Like just random, just arbitrary. No. What does Scripture say? Verse 15 of chapter 5. To one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one. Key phrase here. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. So principle number two, God gives to us according to our own ability. The Greek word translator into ability here is dunamis. You may recognize that if you've been around a little bit. Same word as is used in the Scripture in Acts. That is translated, you shall have power to be witnesses among Judea, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in Acts 2. So what it's saying is that we are given according to the ability or the power that we possess to reproduce, to grow, to increase that resource. Some of you aren't going to like this, but it's important that we understand this principle. Some of us just do not have the ability or the power to be a steward over five talents. And that's okay, because that's how God created you specifically. Some don't have the ability or the power to be a steward over two talents. So they get the one talent. There's another principle coming in a little bit. So as it says in the Knopf Homo, they're not here. On the kitchen wall, get your big girl underwear on. It's okay, hold off. Don't get offended yet. We'll get to another principle. But our culture says that we have to be the best. Our flesh wants to be the best. our internal desire or need for affirmation says we need to be level five. We need to know everything. But does God say that? We need to just busy ourselves so much and just, we're going to be that person who can be counted on for anything. And then you get sick and then you get, because you're killing yourself. Why? Because you really can't handle that load. Some people can. My sister, she's been a director of music, pastor of creative arts. A lot of it, her tenure has been at Christian Life College and then more recently Urshan College as the choral director, which means she is nonstop. She's traveling out weekends. She does live recordings. Like the last 5 years, she did live recordings for Urshan, which means there's pre-practices basically from January to May. It's crazy with the CD. Oh, and then she goes on chorale tour and lives this life that's just like, I get overwhelmed just thinking about it. And she's now the dean of music, so she doesn't have to do all that, praise God, and she's loving it. But for years she did that. Why? Because she could handle that. I could never do that, and I'm okay with that. That's not for me. That's not my thing. That's not my level that I can live at. Now, that doesn't say I aspire to do more and to let God and lead me and all that. So again, don't cop out and say, well, I'm just this and so I'm never going to grow. And I'm never, no. Don't get it wrong. But to aspire to something and to do all this, you're going to kill yourself and your energy and all that. It's our flesh. It's humanity that says I have to be level five in every area. I remember I was in the middle of college feeling the tug of God on my heart here, UW-Madison, and the desire to get into ministry, and I was frustrated because I didn't have the time to do all that I wanted in the kingdom. I don't remember who it was. One of you may be sitting here. Maybe you remember. But somewhere along the lines, I was told, you're in college. Wisdom drop in my life. You're in college. It's only a season. Give the small amount of time that you do have. Don't slack off. Yeah, give to the kingdom. But stop stressing out. You'll have more time soon enough when you graduate. And you can give more. You're in a season. That piece of wisdom was like life to me in that moment. It took the pressure off of me in that season of my life. I still gave it all as much as I could. But I stopped comparing myself, principle number one. And came to the understanding I only had level one ability in that season, and that was okay. Principle number two. Adam Clark in his commentary says this, the duties men are called to perform are suited to their situations and the talents they receive. The good that any man has, he has received from God, as also the ability to improve that good. God's graces and temporal mercies are suited to the power which a man has of improving them. To give eminent gifts to persons incapable of properly improving them would be only to lead into a snare. The talent which each man has suits his own state best, and it is only pride and insanity which lead him to desire and envy the graces and talents of another. Five talents would be too much for some men. One talent would be too little for some. He who receives much must make proportionate improvements. You got to, if you've got a lot, what is a five? They expect five back. If you got one, hey, proportionate. You got to make one back. And so you envy the level five. Well, guess what? What is it? The scripture, the more you have, the more response. Anyways, I didn't write it down. You know what I'm talking about. And if you don't, well, it's not important. Our flesh says it's the amount we have. God says it's according to what we're capable of. So let's start introducing some practical applications, and we'll continue this out through the rest principles where we live. Worship. We're called to praise the Lord. Psalms 150. Praise the Lord. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. What level are you of worship? You may be here tonight physically incapable of standing to your feet or lifting your hands. And one may consider that level one worshiper. Well, they're not running and jumping and dancing, and that's okay. I was thinking about Brother Perry Hicks back there. Maybe one day in the past he's ran and jumped, but you've been here every single service that you can physically be here. And I don't sit close enough to watch you worship, but I'm assuming that there's worship going on back there in the back. We don't have the capability maybe to do certain things physically, but we have breath in our lungs. That's physically capable. What about emotionally capable? Life beats you up. Has it lately? You're weary, you're broken, you're hurting, you're confused, you're questioning. No, you don't have anything fit for a king, but as the song says, but I have a heart that sings hallelujah. Can't do anything else, but you know what? In my hurt and pain, I can come down to the altar and just, okay, God, I take it, because I don't know what else to do. The old school song, and this is the new version, but the old school song, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. It's basically you're telling yourself, bless the Lord now, self. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Same thing. Oh, come on, my soul. Don't get shy on me now. Lift up the song because you've got a line. You can do this, self. Even though you don't feel good, and maybe it's you can't lift the hand. My mom is like her shoulders way out of whack. She can't lift her hands like that. But man, if you know, she worships. If you physically can't, man, I hope you're lifting and jumping and shouting in your spirit and giving everything to God. If you emotionally don't feel like worshiping, as Brother Dan, some of your comments were right on tonight. It's telling yourself, God, I'm going to give myself what I have tonight to God, everything I have. We need to come into the house of God prepared to worship. To prepare to give whatever level of worship that we're capable of. And maybe you are on a high. Maybe life is great and grand. Maybe you have strong legs and you're really tall. And you can jump over pews if you wanted to. These guys are so tall, he's got to stop growing. But there should be some jumping in some young people. And some dancing, and for those who are capable and those who have it in them. Why? Because you just, okay, God, what do you want from me? What do you want in my worship tonight, today, on Sunday, every service? Some have the ability to be level five worshipers and just sit back and bury that. It's not only level ones that bury stuff. Some of us have level five resources. And we bury them as well. Hallelujah. We've been given according to our ability. If you are five, God gave you that five because you have the ability, the power to take that five and make something more. So do it. If you are a one, stop comparing yourself and bemoaning things. God gave you that one because you have the ability to take that one and make something more. So do it. For those who got offended because you felt I was referring to you when I said some are just level one people, this one's for you. Principle number three, the number of talents is not static. Matthew 5, let's read some of these scriptures again, 5:21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. This is both the five talent and the two talent. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He just got more. Verse 29, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. While we're on off pouting at our level one status and upset at the level two woman over there, we're not understanding that that same level two woman was once a level one woman, but who said, you know what, I have the ability to take this simple talent that I have, or ability, or resource, whatever it is. And there's many applications all across our lives. And I'm going to invest it. And now they're level two. And now they're like, level two people are just great. No, they just actually went for it and did it. Amen. Let's get practical. Giving. That's another area that this can apply to. There's a giving principle found in Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. Try me. Try it out. Test me, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, we don't give to get. We're just called to give to the Lord. However, when we do give, this principle holds true. That's why folks who don't serve the Lord, don't care, who are atheists, but they give of their resources, of their finances, to help those in need, are blessed. Why? Because it's a biblical principle, whether you're living for God or not. It's a principle in the Bible. Amen. Try God out. See if he'll not open those windows of heaven and give you a greater capacity to give the next time. This principle does hold true. We have a missionary coming in a couple weeks, missionary to Haiti, the Tingleys. What's our giving attitude toward the resources that God has blessed us with? Well, I'm just a level one giver. I can't give like these folks who just own their own businesses and, you know, can make millions and can just give all their finances. So you know what? I'm just going to let them give. If I had the ability to give $1,000, then I'd give. But my $5 is not going to do much. So I'm going to bury it, not invest into the kingdom of God. Wait a minute. The fastest way to see our finances change in a positive direction is to open our hand to the Lord and return it to him. When God knows that he can trust us to be a giver, he'll entrust us more. Not for our own benefit, but to be an even bigger giver. And that first raise, after you determine in your mind, I'm going to give and I'm going to pay, return my tithes to the Lord and I'm going to do these things, that first raise, that first blessing is the first test. I'll never forget, I've told this story, and because Bishop's teaching, and he talked about giving to every ministry, so I'm like, we can do that. We'll get 50 cents. That's all we can afford right now. 50 cents every ministry, it came out to like $6.50, $7 a check. Well, subsequently, they decided to just reevaluate all our positions and massive, huge raise. Now, I'm like, okay, well, what in the world? What was my first thought? Let's go buy Lego. No, it's like, okay, we got to redo our budget here. Okay, now we got a greater capacity, and this is awesome. We're trying to save for two children. That's what we've done with all our money as young adults. We've been going on trips. We save for children and spent them on children. Checked them out. How much does this one cost? I'm just joking. That's horrible. It's only adoption. People can joke about it. I'm sorry. Oh, man, that's horrible. Sorry, dear. I love you. Please love me. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, is that my wife here? Oh, that's Peter. Okay. But that was the first test. And you know what? Because of God's blessing, we're like, let's go to $2 every ministry. And then there was the next raise. And I could tell you, I'm not doing anything. One raise, I was really frustrated at work, and I think I've told the story before. So Friday, my boss talked to my manager. I had a manager at the time. What's wrong with Phil? Oh, he's just frustrated with some work things and not getting things done, and because whatever, I won't go into it. But my boss calls me up and says, I can't have Phil upset. I'm like, okay. So Monday, you start with a 10% raise. All right, see ya. Now, that didn't solve my frustrations at all, but it did lift my spirits. But again, okay, let's redo the budget. Now we can afford a $4 every ministry. That's the test. The more you open your hand, the more God says, I can trust that person with that resource. Okay. Hey, your Bible study teacher, you do everything you can to teach them and study all, get out. God's like, I'll give you another Bible study student. I'll fill your schedule if you want. But I'm going to first do that one. Why can't I teach all these Bible? Well, maybe you just need to focus on one and be excellent in one. And as you show that I'm going to give this resource and this ability to teach to God, he will bless it, multiply it, etc. And the talent, the amount of resource will grow. The number of talents, again, this is not just for giving. It's for our giftings, our talents, our time, our knowledge, our wisdom, many other resources applicable across our lives. The number of talents is not stay static. And when we're good stewards, the number will grow. And you'll have more resources. You'll have more things. And don't think about just money in this. There's principles all over. There's your talent, your giftings. Be the best drummer that you can, Colin. And study. And I'll talk to all the musicians and singers. And this is for Abby's sake. She hasn't said a word to me. But don't show up to this practice and to service not having listened to the song, ever. Well, we sang this once. Come on. Play with, like, chopsticks if you don't have a drum set at home. Play with a fake guitar. Practice the chords visually. Air guitar it if you have to. Why? Because that shows excellence and commitment to the craft. And commitment to, like, I'm going to sing this song. I'm gonna practice my part. I don't know the part. Ask the question, what's my part, ahead of time. So that when you come here, it's not about, oh, let me figure out what I'm singing and playing. And again, Abby never said a word. She's not here tonight, so I can say it. She never said a word to me, but this is what I've observed. And I know because I'm a music guy. You can practice, and you should. Teaching, you should practice, or you should study and not just show up. Amen. I'm getting way off and out of order here, but that's all good. I've woven this throughout so far because it's the thought that sparked this whole message. But principle number four, don't wait until you have two or five talents to do something. Mark 12, 41 through 44. Again, I talked about before, well, when I get this amount, I'm gonna give to the missionary. Don't wait because you may never get to $1,000. But you can give five today. Give up that Starbucks today. Amen. Mark 12, 41 through 44. Where am I at? Woo! Glory. We're going to go long tonight. We're going to go back old school. Go to our normal times from the old past. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury, saw how the people put money into the treasury. Many who were rich put in much. Then one poor woman came and threw in two mites, which make up quadrants. So he called the disciples to himself, said to them, "Surely I say to you that this poor woman has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." She didn't wait till she had money. She said, "This is what I got, I'll give." Level one giver gave level one offering. Well done, thy good and faithful service. If this was a parable of the talents, the five talent giver probably would have been rebuked because he could have done so much more. Don't envy the five talents because they are responsible to produce more from that five talents. Amen. We already said that. Jesus and his disciples found themselves on a hillside one day. Thousands of folks who came to hear Jesus, and now it's mealtime. There's no fast food restaurants to send folks to. John 6:9, what happened? There's a lad here who has five barley loaves and two small fish, but what are they among so many? And if you read the story, continue on in Mark 6. If you're not familiar, I encourage you to. Jesus multiplies that simple meal that a boy had, his lunch, and fed 5,000 men plus women and children, so 12,000, 15,000, however many. Don't make a judgment call based on what you think you can offer. It's just a couple loaves of bread and some fish, so I'm not going to say anything. No, with childlike faith, the boy gave what he had. Jesus took that level one meal and multiplied it. Just because you don't think your $5 to the missionary is going to do anything doesn't mean God can't take it and multiply it. If he had brought Lunchables that day, everyone would have had Lunchables. If he had brought beef sticks, the mini wieners with barbecue that Peter loves, everyone would have had those. And you would have had to just eat barbecue even if you don't like it. This whole idea of judging the value of our resources can take over a church if we're not careful. This principle is so vital for us today. We've got to use the resources at the level we have been given. Don't wait. I want to talk about this because it's another area. I've been talking about giving, but teaching, for example, we judge and measure levels of teaching. Okay, this is the most important teaching platform in the service. And then maybe our New Life classes, and then, you know, our Bible study teachers. I'm just the 3-year-old teacher. I'm just a babysitter. If that is your spirit and attitude, yeah, you will be just a babysitter. But my 3-year-old Malachi needs someone who's praying over the class, who is studying the lesson, who is giving them off, trying to find the coolest object lesson that a 3-year-old would find amazing. If you have that talent and you're teaching that class, bless you, because I can't do it. I taught once in the 2s and 3s, I about died, literally. Okay, not literally, but in my mind. Malachi is the best because every Sunday the devotion and the kids' devotion is just a recap of the lesson. So, hey, what'd you learn in Sunday school today? And I love asking Malachi because they're like, I don't know. And it's just the cutest voice. And Spencer and Natasha were teaching. I don't think they're here tonight. And if you are, I just can't see you. they were teaching that day. And I've told them this personally. He came home and it was Joshua and the Israelites crossing over the Red Sea. Well, not the Red Sea, the Jordan River waters parting. And I said, what was it about? And Josiah's like, oh, Joshua. I'm like, oh, what was going on? And Malachi's like, big river. I'm like, oh, there was a big river. I'm like, well, what happened? He's like, and I was just ready for that. I don't know. And he's like, God made a way. What was that, Malachi? God made a way. And so I approached Spencer and Natasha, and I'm like, well, you know, I honor you because he came home and knew what he remembered 8 hours, 9 hours later. What'd you do? And Spencer's like, well, I still don't know what he did, but he talked about his board games, and he brought pieces from his board games and set it up for like the river or something. I don't know. And Natasha just starts laughing. She's like, yeah, that phrase, God made a way. I just said it over and over again as we're teaching, like, God made a way. And God, that whole week, God made a way. Such a powerful concept for a little three-year-old. To get in his spirit. Does he understand? No, but it's going to be in his heart. Why? Because some teachers took their three-year-old class seriously. And they said, I'm going to give everything. I don't judge the three-year-old class as a level one. Some people do. But you just got to like give everything that you have, no matter where you're at. Whatever platform you have, might not be this one. But it could be at the door. It could be in your class. It could be in the pew sitting next to someone. Man, I'm going long. This is good. So let's talk shop. I'm almost done. I'm praying that God is stirring someone up tonight, challenging someone from Scripture to use their resources. That could be financial. It could be time resources, personality resources, knowledge resources. I overheard Sister Jessica when this lesson was taught, imploring our young people, we only got a few here today, to get involved. You guys are some of the most tech-savvy people in the church. And I don't think there's anybody in our tech department that are young people. Some are on the music. I applaud you. Some are ushers. Thank you. That's awesome. Using that talent, that resource to the Lord. But get involved. And then some of you, I don't have a time to start a church like Brother Ben, Sister Victoria, Pastor Phil. I hear you. I don't either. I don't have that ability right now. Bless you guys. Seriously. But do you have an hour a week to come to the church? Yeah. We've got some pews that everybody touches when they come to church. And the oil from your fingers. Get on. I'm not saying you guys got grimy hands. Don't misinterpret me. But hey, it would be awesome for someone to come and every week wipe down the pews. We've got, Sister Lois, I'm trying to try to get you out of your job. We have, or your task that you take on. Does anyone have a washing machine? Wow, no one has a washing machine. Okay, one hand. My God, that's why you smell so good. Everyone else just don't have washing machines. We need to pray for y'all. We have towels that we use for baptisms, and they're wet, and they get thrown in a basket. And every week when there's baptisms, Sister Lois takes those home, washes them, dries them, brings them back, folds them up, ready for next baptism. If that's all you can do, somebody take her task from her. I'm trying to give it away. I know you enjoy doing that. You love doing it. But there are things all across this church that you can do. Sister Eileen Manley, I preached a message, and I said something in there, and I don't remember the top of the thing, but I said, if all you can do is write a card, do it. And I got a card from Sister Eileen Manley next week. And she said, I had just been feeling low that I couldn't do very much. And your message really encouraged me to do something I've been doing for years. Literally, she writes cards all the time. I think that was mentioned at her funeral. And she's like, thank you for encouraging me that I still have a place. Essentially, a nutshell for what she said. If that's all you can do, don't think of it as all I can do. That's a powerful level, maybe a level one, a simple thing, but it's powerful in someone's life who needs a note of encouragement in the mail. There's some wisdom in this house that needs to be passed on. Titus 2 talks about the older women passing things on to the younger women. Same goes for the guys. Elders, we need your voice. If you've been through life situations and you're seeing someone, get plugged in into their lives, to walk alongside them, say, this is what I did, here's mistakes I made, and you know, and pass on that. We need level 5 wisdom to be passed on. Amen. If you feel challenged, give me a shout. Let me know how much time you have, what your resources are, and we'll get somewhere, something for you to invest into the kingdom of God. If it's coming to the church half an hour a week, sweet. We're going to be creating this master list of every single task that people can do. So if you're wanting to know, let me know. And that'll push me to get it done. And I'll get you something to do, whether it's wiping down windows, wiping down pews. Maybe it's beautify. We need some garden people, more garden people. Amen, Sister Debbie. Amen. Amen. Why? Because that's a platform, Sister Debbie. People walk in. Oh, look at all those weeds. Some people would notice it. The horticultural people, Sister Debbie would notice it. That's why she comes like, I got to clean up these weeds because I notice it. But some people will notice it and be turned off. This church does not care about their property. What? It's weeding. Exactly. You can be a blessing. Anyways, the principles of the talents, if you would stand. Didn't go that much over. My wife's not here. I don't have kids. I'm free tonight. Let's just keep preaching. I'm just joking. Number one, there's no room for comparison. Stop comparing and looking to your brother or sister. Rejoice that they can do more. And don't look down on them that they can't do as much as you can. It's a great responsibility what we have, whether it's one or it's 5. Don't compare. We've been giving according to our ability or power to utilize that talent. To much who is given, much is required. That was a scripture. Thank you. I just remembered it. Yeah. If you've been given 5-level talent, get working on that. Produce. Give of yourself. If you have a specific skill, man, I can't do carpentry work. I'm not good with my hands. Like building things. I probably could figure it out, but like I get so frustrated because I've never been taught that. I just haven't been exposed to it enough, and you know, I'd rather build Lego. But if you have that ability, that should be something that when there's a project, I'm there. I'm there. Plumbing, I'm there. What do you need? Oh, there's a toilet. Sweet. I'll go plunge that toilet. That'll be the best plunge toilet you've ever seen. There are things that you can do, that I can do for the kingdom of God. Whether it's teaching a Bible study, teaching a 3-year-old class, working the media department and our computer and our cameras. We have new cameras. But part of the reason is we haven't installed them is we don't have the folks to run the system. So a little plug, Pastor Jessica and Brother John will appreciate this little plug. Get involved. If you want to run a camera, man, if you like selfies, I got photography for you too. It won't be of yourself, but it'll be of special events. There's things you can do. No matter what the skill, talent, gifting, time, financial, etc. Number 3, the number of talents is not static. We place what we've got in God's hands. He will grow it. And number 4, don't wait till we've got 2 or 5 talents. Give of whatever resource we have now. Amen. As they begin to sing tonight, just want to encourage you. I hope you've taken something a little different from this parable tonight. And God has spoken to your heart. Again, every resource, every individual, resources are different. What your level 5 is, I'm probably a level 1. When I'm level 5, you may be a level 1. And so give what you can in the resources that you have. And so tonight, as you come forward and talk to the Lord tonight, ask Him, God, where do I fit into this? What resources am I bearing? Is there a resource I'm bearing? If not, am I producing what I should be proportionate to what I have the ability to produce? And God will speak to you. If you ask Him, He will speak. He'll talk to your heart, speak to your heart, and let you know, here's what you need to do. Amen. Come forward. Let's go before the Lord and pray tonight. Seek the Lord. Seek His face. Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name, sing like never before,
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy name and sing like never before. Oh my soul, worship Your holy name. The sun. Song again, whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be safe when the evening comes, and bless the Lord. Worship His holy name and sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never. Like never before. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near, my time has come. Still my soul sings Your praise unending. 10,000 like never before. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name.
Praise the Lord, church. Thank you so very much, Pastor Phil, for a great principled Bible lesson, life lesson tonight. And thank you so very much. And so great to be here tonight. We were actually supposed to be in Las Vegas this week. If you noticed, we're still here. Actually, I have to have a medical test tomorrow at 1:20, so just pray for me. It's nothing, I should say nothing serious. I have the same issue that my brother had just had open heart surgery for. We kind of inherited this from our mother. It's an aneurysm on our aorta, our main artery coming out of your heart. And mine's kind of getting to that level to where they're not for sure how they want to go forward with repairing it or just exactly what they're going to do. So they ordered yet another scan. I think this is like the fifth or sixth one that I've had. But one scan shows me to be over the level of safety, and another scan shows me to be under. So they want to kind of reset this whole thing. And I said all that to say, just pray for me tomorrow. We've been through this a number of times. I'm really not looking forward to open heart surgery and 8 weeks of recovery as my brother, other than he's done a really good job milking this out. And I guess maybe if for the next 8 weeks he would mow my lawn, because we probably won't be shoveling any snow, I could probably handle that. But this is for you, bro. This thanks for being my brother. Anyway, so just remember my mom and dad in the passing of my Uncle Charlie, and we'll let you know on the details as far as I think they're probably going to end up maybe back here with the memorial service, but we don't know the time or any of those details. And I know a lot of you knew Charlie. If you were here, you knew Charlie. You couldn't help but know Charlie. But anyway, so just pray for them. Continue to pray for them. And love you. Appreciate you. We will be back here Sunday morning and having service, having church. God bless you. Enjoy spring-like weather that's going to be here the next few days. Rain. At least it's not snow. That can go away. So God bless you.